Welcome back to another episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. It's been a while since we recorded a podcast, and tonight it's just me, and I'm joined by a special guest. We're joined by Perth Glory midfielder, young midfielder, Jalen Pearman. Of course, I'm your host, Christian Marchetti, as well, if you're tuning into the pod for the first time. But I've got Jalen on tonight because I wanted to talk to him a little bit about mainly the Young Socceroos and that incredible triumph, Asian champions winning the Asian Cup. It's happened just over a week ago now in Shenzhen. But yeah, we're going to get into it. But Jalen, first of all, how are you going? How's things going at the moment? You're back in Perth. You've got 6 games left in the season. You just had a bye as well. So getting ready, I guess, for that. And then I guess probably still enjoying the last sort of 7, 8, 9 days. You've been lucky. You've had a bye, so you've actually been able to kind of soak it in a little bit more. Some of these other guys that got straight into action on the weekend. But how's things going?
Yeah, I've been good. It's been good to be home. I think after like 5 weeks away from home, it's always good to be back. Training's been good as well the last week, back into it. All the boys have been good as well, congratulating me, everything. So yeah, it's been really good.
Cool. So get started, I guess. Just sort of a big picture, I guess, on the triumph, on the tournament, the win. I mean, you know, you're 06 born, if I'm correct. So you're actually born, kind of after Uruguay and all that. But a lot of people kind of coming out of this are talking about, you know, how this is one of the most, you know, biggest achievements in Australian football history. I guess just for you guys as a squad and even yourself, like when you're over there, you're winning these games, you're beating Japan even after the Iraq game. Like, do you feel the significance of the moment of what's happening, or you just kind of, you know, you've really got that closure as a group of, you know, one game at a time, and we're just kind of taking things slowly? Or you're kind of reading things, I guess, on social media and being like, wow, you know, like I know someone like Stephen Hall might be thinking like, wow, they're comparing my save to Mark Schwarzer, for example. So how's that sort of the magnitude of it?
I think during the tournament, you don't really take notice of all the, well, I mean, you take notice of it, but you try to block it out because you know, like, you obviously know the significance of each game and how big it is and what it would mean to the country to, like, qualify for a World Cup and even go on to win it. So you know what people are talking about, like, how they're going to talk about you depending on how you go. You know all that stuff. But obviously during the game, you're focused on the game. You're focusing on what you're going to do in the game. But then obviously after the game, when you're on the bus, you've just won and you've got like the highs of just winning, making a World Cup. And even after the final, when you're winning, you're seeing everything on Instagram, on news articles, like different Facebook pages, like you're seeing it all. So it makes you feel good. And like, especially when the whole country's behind you as well. And the way we did it, it just makes it even better.
When did you feel like you personally, if the group, something like that was possible? Did you think after the Iraq game that, listen, we're not just here now to just qualify for the World Cup, we can actually go and win this? Or was it maybe the Japan game?
I think going into the tournament, seeing the squad we have, I think we were capable. I thought we were always capable of winning. Like, I knew in my mind, I was very confident in making the World Cup with the players we had, with the coach we had. But I think once we had made it out of the group, I had quite a lot of confidence in qualifying for the World Cup. And then after that Iraq game, I was even more confident that we could win it as well. And that Japan game kind of just like settled it as well.
And you mentioned the squad there. Now, one of the big sort of talking points out of this win, this tournament win, has been that you guys seem to just have a bit of a maturity, an extra maturity maybe about you compared to other teams. I think I remember listening into the Japan game, and Teo Pelzeri, the commentator, said that you guys, I think amongst the Japan team, they had had something like only 18 games at senior level, whereas you guys, like, that number would be going into the tournament would have been close to 100, something like that, with you guys all collectively. Now, I know you personally, your sort of breakouts only really happened in the last couple of months, right? But for some of these other guys, Kikianis, Johnny Yao, I know particularly where I am, the SA boys from Adelaide United in particular, but... Like, did you feel that in the games that you had that seniority? Like, you had kind of maybe from learning from more experienced players at your clubs at A-League level, playing against men every week, that you'd actually had sort of this extra edge going into these games?
Yeah, it definitely helps a lot having exposure to senior football. Like you said, basically all of our squad has played in a professional game and have played more than 10 games in the A-League, basically. Yeah, like you said, myself, I've only played 6-7 games, but I think because I've been around the first team for a few years now anyway, and you pick up things from older boys, they help you a lot, even different coaches, you take different things on board, and it helps a lot when you're playing against older players like men, and you know how to handle yourself in terms of like when to do things, when not to do things. But I think, yeah, it helps that our whole squad has been around senior football. So, yeah.
Felt like the game management side of it as well. Like, you guys seem to actually manage each game pretty well. Like, particularly even like the Iraq game, obviously probably wasn't the best first half. I mean, in saying that, like, the first goal was obviously an unbelievable strike. But... You know, it felt like in the second half of that game, I mean, they didn't really pose much of a threat at all. And then you guys just had a couple of opportunities and you took them. And then the Japan game, obviously in the second half, we know the technical quality they've still got, that you guys were kind of penned in a little bit in the second half. But it almost felt like you knew, okay, like we're going to have moments where we're going to have to sit in, we're going to have to defend a little bit, but we've got a lot of quality, so we know that when we go forward, we can still create. Was that kind of the mentality in those moments?
Yeah, I think in terms of game management, like I said, senior football, it helps with that because you're playing against men, more players who have been around it for a lot longer than what we have. So I think taking that into the tournament helps a lot. The Japan game, like you said, the Iraq game, I think we know when to do things and when not to do things. So I think that helps a lot in terms of what games you're playing, what different type of team you're playing. So you've got to like adjust to a different team, a different tempo of the game and different things like that.
And for you personally at the tournament, so you had probably two key contributions, obviously the main one being the goal against Japan, and then you obviously converted your penalty in the shootout in the final as well. So I guess you weren't like one of the main starters at the tournament, but you still had your moments, mainly that goal. Like, how do you kind of feel reflecting on that moment in particular? Maybe a little bit of a helping hand from the goalkeeper, but you did hit it well.
I think the goal against Japan, I came on with 30 minutes left, so I think you're 1-0 up, you want to just go on and kind of bring more energy, try create things and make things happen. So that's kind of what I was just trying to do. I thought, I'll have a shot, why not? I turned away because I thought, oh, that's going right at the keeper. And then he's punched it into his own net. So then I've turned back and seen it's gone in. So I'm not going to complain. It's a goal is a goal. And then obviously my pen, you can get nervous because it's like it's a final, it's for your country, but I wasn't nervous. Obviously, I knew what was at stake. Like, I knew the significance of the penalty, and I'm sure all the other boys did as well. But it didn't really faze me in terms of like, I wasn't like nervous or anything. I just knew what I had to do, really. But yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you mentioned the shootout there. Just a quick aside sort of question. With Stephen Hall, he's actually a goalkeeper who I've seen play live many times here in SA. He's a very, very, very good goalkeeper. Did you guys have like a confidence once it went to the penalty shootout. Like, yeah, like we know we've got Steven. We know Steven's going to come up big with a big save, and we can just, as long as we convert, then we're going to be fine. Was that sort of the feeling?
I think when you're going into shootouts like that, you never really know what's going to happen. Football, anything can happen in football. But with the players we have, you got to be confident in terms of, like, the players, they're all calm. They know where to put a penalty. They know what they're going to do. And, of course, with Steve, like, we've done many penalties in training as well, and he saved, like, heaps of them. So we were all confident in Steve, and he can save anything, really. And then we have confidence in ourselves as well to convert our pens.
And you mentioned before, we were talking, yeah, about kind of that the goal against Japan, but then also having sort of that dual role of you're starting a few games, but then you're also coming off the bench, I guess. Trevor Morgan, he's got a lot of plaudits for the way he's coached the team throughout the Asian Cup. What was sort of, I guess, his advice to you, or maybe even you guys as a midfield group, sort of about how to approach each game? Was it different sort of for each opponent, or was there some sort of general principles about, you know, when you go out there, try and do this, that, and the other?
You're always going to have different setups, different tactics for a different team. So a team like Japan, they're going to let you have more of the ball in terms of, like, it's not going to be back and forth like an Iraq game, if that kind of makes sense. Iraq are very direct. They'll get you on the counter-attack, sit in, and then go forward quick. Whereas Japan, they'll keep the ball. You kind of know what you're going to get from different types of teams. So if we're playing against an Iraq who are going to go long and you need to win second balls, you're most of the time going to need to have two midfielders. And if you're playing against a Japan where you want to try keep the ball more and you're going to have more of the ball, then you'd play with maybe one midfielder and then one a bit higher, if that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. So everyone had a role to play. Trevor would change the team up. It's not anything to do with getting dropped, none of that. It's all just, it depends on who you're playing and how we want to play in that game.
Yeah, you guys kind of had this sort of diamond shape, yeah. It seemed, yeah, with Ocon at the base, and then you'd kind of have a creative midfielder sort of further forward. I mean, actually, Ocon, he's been getting a lot of sort of raps from his performance this tournament. I mean, how did you feel sort of playing alongside him? Even some of the other guys, Johnny Yeo, obviously, I'm actually got a question here about Daniel Benny as well, which is probably linked to more of the WA angle, but just some of these other guys playing with them, Luca, Musa.
All the boys were fantastic. We were very close in terms of, like, off the pitch as well, which helps us on the pitch. So you just feel comfortable with anyone who's playing in there, whether it was Paulie, Ocon, or if it was Franz, Deli, sitting there as well. You feel comfortable with anyone. If it was Batalado, Johnny Earl, like you said, anyone playing alongside you, you know you've got those relationships where you can play nice football with them, and, yeah, you know what you're going to do.
Yeah, so on Daniel Benny, and I guess you had actually two Perth Glory teammates with you, and then one additional one, of course, ex-Perth Glory in Daniel Benny. But you and Daniel, of course, are WA products, and I guess because there's probably going to be quite a few Glory fans and probably people in the WA football sphere listening to this, I guess, is that kind of particularly special to share that moment, because you guys were the only two kind of repping WA in the squad. And I know, like, the guys here in SA, when they came back, they all kind of arrived at Adelaide Airport. They were able to kind of talk to the media together. You can see they're really sort of close coming through sort of the academy system and stuff. So, yeah, how did that sort of feel, sharing that with him?
Well, me and Benny, Daniel, we came through the academy together, so we were always very close, done a lot of training together, been good mates anyway off the pitch, so I think that helps, and it makes it even more special that we're both from WA, both played at Glory, we've played a lot of games together, so we're, as like I said, really close. It just makes it a lot so special that we can represent our country together from our own state as well.
You both came out of Sorrento FC as well.
Both came out of Sorrento, but at different times.
At different times, right? Yeah. Right. Okay. Cool. Well, yeah, it must be must be pretty cool then to kind of share that with someone that you've kind of been linked with for a large part of your career so far. Just on you specifically, because you've, like I mentioned before, you sort of had this breakout in the last couple of months. You scored that rocket against Auckland. Yeah, pretty much watched every one of your games so far. Probably your kind of standout performance so far. I've seen, particularly after that game, I don't know if you've seen this as well, but I've seen a lot of Tom Rogic comparisons. With your game, which I do kind of see a little bit as well. I guess care to comment on that? What are your thoughts on that? Have you watched? Did you ever watch like Tom Rogic when you were younger? Kind of try and model his game.
I never actually watched him. I wasn't very familiar with him until I heard the comparisons. So that then made me curious to watch his highlights, watch what he's like. And I see it a little bit. I can see where people get it from, but I've never really like based my game off of anyone. I've kind of like, I've watched a lot of football. So I take a lot of things from different players and I like not add it to my game, but like I learn from a lot of different things and then I can try add different things and then just bring it all together. But I've never tried to base it off of one player.
So, but are there any players that maybe you've watched a little bit more than others and you've seen, oh, I'm going to take like his, try and replicate that sort of skill that he does or that type of shot, something like that?
I used to watch a lot of Eden Hazard when he was at Chelsea.
My man. Nice.
So yeah, I used to watch a lot of him. His dribbling, I used to love. I love the way he, like, when he's dribbling with the ball and he basically cuts in front of a player so they either have to foul him or, like, let him go, basically, because they can't really foul him. But, yeah, I used to love watching him.
Yeah, it's kind of like using, like, getting your body between man and ball, yeah, and then he draws fouls. One guy who does this, like, unbelievably well in the A-League is Leo Senna at Sydney. Yeah. It's like out of control. He's got like, I think he's like 30 fouls ahead of fouls one. Yeah, ahead of
it
like
was,
the
it
next
was quite
person.
Frustrating when we played Sydney.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah. But I don't know if you go back and like watch the game, watch the film and you're like, yeah, look, maybe probably a few of those, yeah, like kind of clear cut fouls. He's kind of done me there. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, are you a Chelsea fan?
No, West Ham fan.
West Ham fan. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're actually a rival fan. All good. So, it kind of, yeah, you like I mentioned at the start, you've got six games left. Now, obviously, as we know, finals isn't possible anymore, but there's still, you've kind of had this interesting season where obviously it started, you know, I think we can agree really badly. There was a lot of bad results. I think a lot of people would kind of see it and we're kind of wondering how the team was kind of functioning and whether it was kind of going to lead to anything decent. But I feel in the past sort of couple of months, your performances are probably much better where you can actually come out of a lot of games thinking, yeah, like, look, we probably, if not, maybe if you lost, maybe could have said deserved at least a point, or if you drew, could have said we'd probably deserve to win. So how's sort of the mood going into the last six games? I know David Zrilic is, you know, he's kind of seems particularly upbeat every week about like, look, we're showing small steps, but, you know, we're getting there. I guess what's kind of the mood from your perspective and even just the squad and what are you kind of looking to achieve in the last six games?
To be fair, the mood's actually been really good in terms of like, well, all the boys were really close. So it kind of helps. No one's on each other's back in terms of like, you need to do this, you need to do that. Everyone's encouraging. We're all good friends, basically. So Drilla keeps the mood upbeat as well. Training's always really good. The quality's good. And like you said, if we did lose, you in the past couple months, you wouldn't be thinking, oh, we deserve to lose quite heavily there. You'd think, oh, we could have won that a lot easy. Like we could have scored a lot more goals. Like we're creating a lot more. So in terms of like, if we draw a game, you're thinking, oh, we definitely could have got 3 points out of that. Even if we lost, we could have got 3 points out of that. But like I said, the mood's really good. Training's really good. Quality's high. And yeah, everything's just really good. I think going into these last few games, you want to just give it everything. Obviously, we know finals isn't possible, but you want to make a mark and show everyone that how much we've improved. And I think we've improved a lot since the start of the season. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Zrilla said this a bit during the season then, and I guess I tend to agree with him. Like, and you'd know this better than anyone, being sort of a local. You know, that the fan base that Glory has, do you guys feel like, listen, if we can get like a couple of big wins in a row, like just to give the fan base something to look at and go, okay, like that's a team that is on the up and is actually now getting some reward. But you also feel like maybe starting maybe this weekend against, I believe it's Brisbane you're playing this weekend. Yeah. If you actually can win that game and go, okay, now some fans might come back a little bit. They might think, all right, this is a team that we can get behind again.
Yeah, the fans are unreal here. So you can see, like, when we had those three or four games quite close together, like the Auckland game, Wanderers, you can see that the fans will back you no matter what. You just got to show them that you're willing to die for the club, basically. You got to show them how much you want it. But no matter what, win, lose, draw, the fans are always unreal. They're always supporting. And, yeah, one of the best fan bases in the league, easily.
And you mentioned about sort of, yeah, how positive you guys are, how close you guys are in the squad. How much does it help having someone like Adam Taggart, obviously, as a leader in the squad? And also, what have the new signings in January sort of done to maybe just sort of rejuvenate a little bit, maybe the atmosphere, or even, you know, just kind of add something different into the group?
Tags is a very good leader in terms of he'll always want the best from everyone. He'll help you out if you need it. He's a very good role model in terms of professionalism. Even the new signings as well, it's just brought a bit more professionalism into the group, because you've got a lot of experience in a few of the boys that we've brought in, so that helps a lot. But yeah, like I said, we're all really close. Even the new signings, when they've come in, they've gotten really close with everyone really quickly. So yeah, it's been good.
Awesome. Yeah, hopefully you guys can get back in the winners list this weekend against Brisbane. Obviously, yeah, they've actually been playing not too badly themselves over the past sort of month. So yeah, should be an interesting game. Jalen, didn't mention this, but congratulations, of course, on the Asian Cup win and the goal against Japan and everything that you kind of did to contribute to it. Like I said at the start, it is a massive achievement for you guys. I actually didn't even ask you this, but World Cup later this year in Chile. I mean, how much are you guys sort of as a group, as probably last question, sort of thought about that? Have you been spoken about that yet? Or are you just enjoying the Asian Cup win?
We definitely spoke about it. And obviously, as much as you want to enjoy the Asian Cup win, you now want to focus on the World Cup and put Australian football on the map and basically show everyone how good Australians can be at football, basically.
Absolutely. Yep. It's something that I think Australians always try and do. So yeah, it'll be very, very interesting to watch. Hopefully, look, it's a long way away from now, but hopefully you guys, when you get there, can really do the country proud. Jalen, top stuff, man. Yeah. Thanks for joining me for a quick
thanks
little...
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
No problem. Quick little pod. Make sure you keep watching Eden Hazard skills compilations, whatever it is. Because that man is fantastic. So all right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Front Page Football Podcast. I have been your host, Christian Marchetti, and not too sure when we're going to return on the podcast, but we will at some point in the near future. Make sure you leave us a rating if you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure you check out our website, frontpagefootball.net. All the articles on there you can read. You can read some of our articles as well from the Young Socceroos and their Asian Cup win as well, and on social media as well. So at frontpgfootball on Twitter, on Instagram, frontpagefootball on Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky, all these different social media platforms that we have these days. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast, and we'll see you next time.